My friends, when we talk about the mother of Jesus, we should talk about her as the great saints and mystics talk about her, and that is as a new creation. And let me put it to you in terms of theological categories. You know, devotion due to God alone is what's classically called latria. That's adoration, something only appropriate to a divine being. We never, ever, ever give Mary adoration. Granted, period. At the same time, knowing that Mary is the perfect human being, the perfect element of the Father's creation, we will never do justice to the dignity in nature and degree to the Mother of Jesus. Let me say that again. While we will never, ever give adoration to Mary, she should never be treated as a goddess, a fourth person of the Trinity. This is total heresy. At the same time, you and I will never do justice to the mystery of the beauty of the Mother of Jesus. That's why the saints call her the new creation. That's why the saints speak about her as completely human, but completely perfect. And part of that mystery, where the Blessed Mother is greater in the order of creation than the seven wonders of the world, than the planetary bodies, than the cosmos, she's greater than all those things. In fact, the fathers of the church used to say that God took the color of Mary's eye, the blue of her eye, to make the color of the sky, because in the order of creation, she's the greatest. That in that order, why she is the greatest is part of the mystery of what she says at Lourdes and what the church proclaims solemnly by the office of the Holy Father, in this case, Blessed Pius IX, that she is the Immaculate Conception. So I want to go to the message of Lourdes, and I want to underscore the power and relevance of Lourdes today. Lourdes happened in February 11th, 1858. The miraculous spring, the trickles of grace go from there to now, to the 21st century. And this is something we've got to be joyful and appreciative about. And what we're saying here is, with what happens at Lourdes to a 14-year-old peasant girl, Bernadette Subaru, an Anawim, a blessed poor one of the Lord, in the mountain towns of the Pyrenees in France, a woman comes and appears to a 14-year-old girl in a garbage dump area, Massabielle, and the particular area where the town dump was very proximate. Our Lady comes. Bernadette, this 14-year-old girl who could not pass her first communion exam, not because she lacked intelligence, but because she was so sickly she oftentimes missed her catechism, she is the one who heaven deigns to receive a message that's affected the entire world and could affect you and me in the midst of our sorrows, our sicknesses, and our sufferings. We all need some form of healing, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. Our Lady of Lourdes is the mediatrix of the healing graces of Jesus. And that all comes through an apparition to Bernadette. So February 11th, 1858 is the date. 4 years prior to that, on December 8th of 1854, Pius IX, using the charism of infallibility as the successor of St. Peter, makes a solemn definition, or what we call a dogma. My friends, people think that dogmas are just kind of ivory tower things for theologians. Dogmas are events of historic grace. They're watersheds of grace. And we can see that at Ephesus with the dogma of the Mother of God. We could see it with the definition of Our Lady's perpetual virginity in the 7th century. And we see it with Pius IX in 1854. Great battles against the church at the time. Great difficulties, rationalism, fideism affecting the life of the church. Post-Enlightenment still affecting the idea of proper respect for authority. All these things are graced with the dogmatic definition of the Immaculate Conception. Pius IX solemnly declares that Mary was conceived without original sin, that Mary possesses a fullness of grace. So with that, some 4 years later, you have the confirmation of this truth, but really what we can call the personalizing of this truth in what Our Lady says at Lourdes. Now, what do I mean by personalizing of the truth? Well, the truth is a truth. Mary was conceived without original sin. This is revealed in Genesis 3:15. She's the woman with the son, the seed of victory, against the snake, the serpent, and his seed of evil. Her enmity, her opposition, is entirely and radically opposed to Satan, just as Jesus' is. It's a parallel opposition. And when the angel Gabriel comes and calls her the full of grace, in Greek, kekeratomene, you who have a plenitude of grace, literally, you who are perfected in grace as an action completed in the past. That's what the Greek verb, the passive participle, means. Kekeratomene, you who have been graced fully, something in the past that affects the present. Yeah, it affects the present because now the angel's coming to the full of grace, calls her the full of grace, and invites her to be the mother of Jesus, so she can pass on a perfect human nature to the Son of God becoming man. It's all the beautiful appropriateness of how God does these things. So at Lourdes, Our Lady comes. Bernadette calls her Aquero in the Patois dialect, the French dialect, which literally means that one. And she starts getting these messages, 16 messages from February 11th to July 16th of 1858. Well, on February 25th, she's given the message to go and dig. And Bernadette doesn't understand what this means. And there's the river Nave, which is behind the place of the grotto. And Bernadette starts going there, thinking Our Lady wants her to go there. No, Our Lady motions her back and motions her under the grotto. Bernadette doesn't know what to do, so she starts to dig. From that digging comes a miraculous spring. This is February 25th, 1858. A miraculous spring where there's been over 67 documented miracles by absolutely rigid scientific medical teams. How many miracles have happened at Lourdes? Millions. Millions of miracles. Millions of healings, both of body, but also the spiritual healings, the healings of the heart, the emotional healings. People testify over and over and over of the graces that flow from that miraculous spring. Well, those are graces that really flow from Calvary, see, from the crucified Christ, and through the intercession of Our Lady, who's at the foot of the cross. She is the co-redemptrix, the mediatrix of all the graces that come to us from the crucified Jesus. And those graces continue through that miraculous spring even to today. Well, on March 25th, you have, of 1858, you have a powerful statement. Bernadette had asked who this lady was several times. Our Lady had refused, chosen not to answer. On March 25th, she asks her three times, and Our Lady finally says, "I am the Immaculate Conception." Now notice, my friend, she didn't say, "I was immaculately conceived." She says, "I am the Immaculate Conception." St. Maximilian Kolbe would later explain that with his typical brilliance and inspiration by saying, she's saying, by saying, "I am the Immaculate Conception," that there's something about her very essence, her very nature, that is full of grace. What is accidental for us, what is a non-essential thing for every other human, that is to be in grace, it's accidental anthropologically, right? We all need grace to make it to heaven, but you can be human and not be in grace. For Our Lady, it is part of her very essence. She is the new creation. She is mysteriously an element of grace by her very nature. God the Father created her in grace and of grace to be the perfect mediator and partner with Jesus in the order of redemption, always subordinate and secondary. This is such beautiful stuff we get from Our Lady of Lourdes. So I want to continue in our next segment to talk about what this means to you and to me. She is the Immaculate Conception, and she does mediate the healing graces, not just for the people of 1858, but for you and me. We've got to open our hearts to that miraculous stream. This is Mark Miravalli saying, thanks for being with us at MaryCast. God bless you.